Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Here's a Stoop story by Tony Gerassi, also known as the Cafeteria Man, about how feeding others helped him discover his passion.
I was born and raised in New Orleans. I grew up literally above a nightclub on Bourbon Street, so I might have been better off being raised by wolves. There's not a lot of things that surprise me. But food has always been one of those things that surprised me. You know, I learned so much about life through food and cooking and food people and sort of doing that. I was not a very good student. I did not enjoy school. But it was taking apart a recipe where I figured out math. It was watching bread rise that I discovered chemistry, you know? And all of the little things that come about the learning process in school, and it always centered around food. My earliest food memories in New Orleans was I'm probably of the last generation that we had people that would go through the streets in New Orleans and sell their wares. And I remember waking up in the morning hearing, I've got a banana, red beans, black beans, okra, I've got some okra. And that's how you shopped, all right? So I know that y'all have a similar thing here called A-Rabbers, and I think y'all should support them. It is a dying and lost art of hustling your wares by the side of the road. And growing up in New Orleans, you learn a lot of things, right? And for me, it was like all about experience, you know? New Orleans is one of those wonderful cities where, like, look, we name our highways after chefs. You know what I mean? It's a place that is all about the food. And my father's family came here from Sicily, and my mother's family are Arcadian French. They are the Français de Louisiane, and they were dirt poor sharecroppers. You know, and they met in the French market when the French market was really a French market. You know. My mama's family were selling vegetables, and my daddy's family were buying those vegetables to go in the restaurant to feed the people, you know? So the three most influential cooks in my life are my two grandmothers. One is still alive today, and when I was passing by last Christmas, she got up at midnight to make me gumbo. And she's 99 years old, you know? She's gonna turn 100 this year, you know? So I'm pretty excited about that. Julia Child. I remember as a young chef negotiating a deal to go to work at this restaurant. Part of the deal was I got to be off between 1 and 3 in the afternoon so I could watch Julia Child. I brought my own little TV set with me and stuff, and that was a deal breaker. I got to do it or not, you know? And the thing I loved about Julia was she was fearless, you know? She was just like, she would just bubble her way through something, but it always came out, you know? And she was fearless. And as a chef, growing up, I was really fortunate to work with some amazing chefs. And as a young chef, I remember these two old European chefs taking me aside. And in between throwing pots and pans at me and yelling at me, they said, you know, you are a knucklehead, you know? However, you're a knucklehead with some talent. And I think that if you will listen long enough, we will be able to nurture that talent into something that is greater than what you are today. And I did. And I heard my voice in the kitchen. That's where I sort of learned about my life and learned about what I could do. And I've had the opportunity to cook from Hartford to Hong Kong. And I'm never, ever, it never ceases to amaze me when I discover new stuff, you know, around the planet. I remember discovering dragon fruit in a wet market in Hong Kong, and it floored me, man. You know, to look at this thing that looked like it came out of a dragon's butt someplace, it was full of this beautiful, luscious, just snow white fruit with these little tiny black specks. Chinese chef that I was working with in Kowloon taught me how to make this salsa. We did this East meets West salsa with dragon fruit, and it was one of my most memorable experiences. Well, so I've cooked around the world. I've had several restaurants, and I've been very successful. I was also a food broker. A food broker is the guy that represents the manufacturer in whatever given market it is. And one of my clients was a chicken guy named Don Tyson, right? And I learned a great deal about Don Tyson. I learned about vertical integration, where you sort of control things from the farm to the fork, you know? I got involved in child nutrition a few years back. And it was about an epiphany in my life, and I wanted to do something better. Money no longer motivated me, and I wanted to work with kids. And one of the most profound days in my career so far happened here in Baltimore, and it happened a little over a year ago in August of 2008, where I sat down at a table with three second graders, three semi-toothed second graders, I might add, we ate peaches for the first time in their lives together, you know? And this one little kid was like rubbing this peach along his face like this. And I said, you know, it's supposed to feel like that. And this other kid is like smelling this peach, just taking deep breaths. I said, it's supposed to smell like that. And this third little kid dives into this peach, and there's juice running down his face and down his arms and down the table, and this wave of emotion comes over his face, and you can see the smile. And it's supposed to taste like that, you know? In one generation, fruit has become a flavor. It is not food anymore, you know? And what I'm trying to do here in Baltimore is to reconnect children with food. What is real food? And we started with a promise of just giving our kids like a piece of fresh fruit every day. That was last year. This year, we're doing Meatless Mondays. I'm now a swine outlaw, you know? Look, if they only knew my unholy love of pork, they would put that crown roast on my head and name me their swine princess. They would, all right? But now, we've come to a place where we're starting to offer our children better food, but the next step is we need to build a central kitchen in this city so that we can start cooking our own food for our children and providing jobs and providing an opportunity for some other kid to hear a voice.
That was cafeteria man Tony Gerassi's Stoop Story about how working in school kitchens steered him to his passion. Gerassi led efforts in Baltimore and in Memphis to make public school lunches more nutritious. Now he works as a consultant to create healthier meals for children across the U.S. You can hear his story and others at StoopStoryTelling.com. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.